One of the sad things is at ground zero is this very scripture is inscripted at ground zero. Verse 8, chapter 9 of Isaiah, the Lord sent a word against Jacob.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on February 3rd, 2021, and is titled One Voice. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and let's join Steve in the message.
And it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. That was read two different times by leaders of this nation shortly after 9/11, 2001, as we began to rebuild a monument to this nation, not a monument to God, at ground zero of this United States of America. This is a reprimand from God. This isn't a blessing. This is a reprimand. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him who strike them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off the head and the tail of Israel, palm branch and bulrush, in one day. And it goes on to talk about all these things. Because why? The bricks have fallen and will rebuild. I'm reminded every day, I'm reminded somewhere in the watching our nation fumble around and watching the confusion of those who can't hear the voice of God and those who are just bumbling around out here in the earth. In our very own constitutional convention, when they had been boarded up there in Philadelphia for 4 months in the middle of summer, and everybody's arguing and everybody's carrying on, and the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, and they're trying to figure out how this is all going to go. Finally, Benjamin Franklin, who many people will claim that wasn't a Christian man, he stands up before the crowd and he tells them, he said, listen, men. He said, if a sparrow would fall to the ground without God's knowing, would he not know the offenders of men as they build a nation? Then he quotes the 127th Psalm, and he said, if God is not in the building of the house, the laborers labor in vain. And from that day forward, we've had some type of clergy or somebody pray in our Congress of the United States of America every day since. I'm talking about the building of the house. I'm talking about the building of your house. I'm talking about the building of your kitchen table. Are you building your empire, or is God doing it? Who gets the glory at the end of the day? Who gets the glory at the end of the day? When you die, will your children bless you because of the material things that you've left them, the possessions you've left them? Or will they bless you because of the Christian heritage you left them, that they'd never disgrace their father like Ham did because of the integrity and the Christian life and the intentionalism that came from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the Bible? Do you operate as mom and dad in one voice? The hardest thing on the generations today are the multifaceted voices in the earth and the multifaceted voices at the kitchen table, or the kitchen tables that are divided. And you got mom over here with this boyfriend telling this, dad over here with his three girlfriends telling this. Come on, I know I'm right up in somebody's business. But I'm telling you today, if you want to talk about the dismantlement of our country and the loss of our inheritance, it happened at the kitchen table. We lost our voice. We weren't one in accord. We're separated now in the body of Christ. We call ourselves the body of Christ with unsaved people preaching from your pulpits. It's just the truth. Ephesians 4, and I'll be done. You hope. It's the good stuff. In the beginning, a man took it upon himself to be greater than God. And he scattered the languages. And 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought one voice to the church. One. That voice of the Holy Ghost does not deviate because of your beliefs. What you believe or think about this Bible, what you believe or think about God, does not change one tittle. God is God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It is not God's job to adjust to us. It is our relationship with God that we adjust to him. Here's how it works. Chapter 4, verse 1. My little heading in my Bible, the unanointed part says, walk in unity. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. God, I could stop right there and preach for 3 weeks. He's not talking to guys that simply decided to be a preacher and went to seminary or cemetery or whichever one. He's talking to every born-again believer. Every born-again believer. Walk a walk worthy of the calling God has called you to. Bam. Here you go. That's a good place to start. Whoever's found faithful with a little, shoot, you might get to do a lot. Or a little more anyhow. Walk the walk worthy of the calling. Well, preacher, I know you're not perfect. You are absolutely right. That's why grace, mercy, and repentance are the three major tools in my toolbox. Because of Jesus, I've become righteous. You see, my righteousness is not a man-made thing either. My righteousness and my ability to serve God is not based on my perfect performance, but my belief in the one who is perfect. My trust in the one who is perfect. I'm not condoning mistakes. I'm just acknowledging humanism. Every one of us is human. Anybody in here ever found yourself mess up in a 12-month period? Anybody ever made a mistake in a year? Well, a couple of you. I should have went further. 5 years. I forgot who I was talking to here. 5 years, 5 minutes. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Unified in spirit, not unified in theology, not unified in name over the door. The body of Christ is one body, one spirit. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. That's it. There's not even enough there to write a book on. It's a paragraph or two. One. One spirit, one faith. One God. That's it. That results in one voice. You see, God gave back your potential. In Genesis 11, He said they could do anything without anything being withheld. And this is what you did? You built a tower? I see it. Geez, ain't no telling what they'll try next. We just want to scramble the eggs a little bit here. And then Jesus came. And he lived just like you and me. Feet on the ground. Not knowing where to lay his head, not always knowing where he's going to get up. He walked it out perfectly. Just to let mankind know that it could be done, he did it. It's recorded. It's a fact. It doesn't matter which book you read. We were talking about it earlier. It doesn't matter if you want to read the Book of Mormon, you want to read the Quran. It doesn't matter. Jesus is in all of them. Jesus is a fact. So if you've been entrapped by somebody in higher academia or something that thinks they're smart enough to tell you he really didn't happen, they're the dumbest guys in the room, because Jesus is a fact. He walked and he did it perfect. It's not any of us in here. He knew that ahead of time. He said, all have sinned and fallen short. That same perfect God died for your righteousness and mine. He died that you'd have a reason to get up in the morning. You'd have a calling on your life. You got something to do. And you got people to do it with. And he said, even if you don't speak up, I'll make the rocks cry out. But he'd rather you speak up, because there's people who recognize your voice. He died for that. But 3 days later, he got up. And he went to assume an amazing position. Highest place of all supremacy. Bible says there in the book of Ephesians that he put us up there with him. So in our lowly state, in our false sense of humility, we don't believe that. What if one day that one voice was elevated to the highest place where we knew that we could open our mouths and speak the very words of God? You see, we talk a lot about faith as the body of Christ. Nobody in this room wants to admit or be public with your lack of confidence in your very own faith. That's our secret. Our voice hasn't been unified very good in encouraging each other. Oh, we do pretty good once a week while we're in a pile. But you're lucky, I do most of the talking. There's a whole life that happens away from this building. So that day, after Jesus had ascended, he did exactly what he promised his guys. I'll not leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said. The prophet Joel had told about it a long time before. We'll read about that in the next week or the week after. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will have dreams. Old men will have visions. See, I'm middle-aged. I can't tell during the night if I'm having a dream or a vision. But and then it happened. It said they were there from all nationalities, all places and all dialects. And they heard. And they recognized it. And they heard the wonderful works of God. God poured out his spirit that day, one time for all mankind. The curtain's been rent in two. All are welcome to enter in. No one comes but through the gate, and the gate is Jesus Christ. His voice resides within that gate. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord in John 10. My sheep know me. They hear my voice, and they obey me. They follow me. Spirit of God dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the living stones of God. You are a royal nation, a holy priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. Where's our voice? Because God said way back yonder, if y'all speak in one voice, nothing be withheld from you. Just another kingdom promise. Nothing's impossible with God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why are we such a limited people when the promise is limitless? The potential of humankind knows no bounds. One voice. I just pray that we all find one voice at our kitchen tables. I thought about this a lot this week. A 15-hour drive turned into a nice little ride. And never turned the radio on. These were the only voices in the pickup. Maybe finally after 40 years we might have heard each other. That's the other side of the voice. Not only did a voice speak, but somebody heard. And they recognized it. It was the wonderful works of God. We all have a voice that somebody's going to hear. We all can hear somebody's voice when we become one in the Spirit of God. Nothing's impossible. So today, when you sit in a room and several of us fought what we thought was a good fight, it didn't turn out yet quite like we thought it might yet. I keep saying yet. It's easy to get you dauber in the dirt. But I'm here to tell you today, this message right here builds a fire in my hiney. Because I know that we come together in one voice, and look, I don't have to get you off. Y'all do it however you want to do it. I know this much at our house. Whatever we agree on will happen. Whatever we agree on and pray for will be done. I know it. So I'm not going to worry, and I'm not going to fear, and I'm not going to fret, and I'm not going to wring my hands. We're going to unify in the Spirit the best we can. And we're going to encourage everybody else to do the same. Well, that's all I got tonight out of that little old lesson. I hope somebody learned something out of it. But here's how it goes, and everybody that's been here before now knows how I'm going to do this at the end. One of these days, there's going to be 3,000 people respond. But every head up, every eye open, and every light on. No background music, no smoke, no mirrors. If you're sitting in this room right now and you know that you're separated from God, that's the only ones I'm calling for right here tonight. The rest of you can come down for prayer after a while if you need healing, anything else. But if you're in this room tonight, listen, it's plenty uncomfortable standing up here staring at y'all. But if you walked in that door tonight for whatever reason, I don't care how many days you've been to church. I don't care if you sing in the choir. I don't care if you're a preacher. You're the one who knows you're separated from God. And tonight, you want to fix that because you want to be an effective voice at your kitchen table, in your community, in your workplace. And you know right now that you are an institution of your own building. And you want to fix it. I want you to get up out of your chair right now, come down here, stand with me, and I want to hug you and pray over you. And if everybody in here is good, then I'm going to pray and we're going to go home. But I'm smarter than that. I know everybody in this room is not good. I know there's some people that want to, they just want to. But if you'll keep coming back, I'll terrorize you till you fix it one of these days. Don't leave this parking lot. I don't expect everything to happen in a service. Wayne Dendy, some things happen in the parking lot, don't they? Big time. Don't leave till you and Jesus get this figured out, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's here. Thank you for everybody that's watching. Lord, I pray maybe there's somebody on the other side of this wall that heard something tonight that said, I got to get right with you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you and that person will get right. I pray that person be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to live a life worthy of their calling, God. And I pray for us all, Lord, that we'll do as we're called to do, that we'll obey you, that we'll listen to your voice, that, Lord, we're truly children of the promise. And I pray that we will declare the wonderful works of you, God Almighty, wherever we go. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being our God who's true and faithful, who doesn't change or waver. And I praise you tonight, Jesus. Be wonderful, Lord, at every kitchen table represented here tonight. Bless our country, Lord. Bless our children and our children's children. We love you and thank you tonight, Jesus. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, One Voice. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.